This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock takes. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hartman. Jackpot.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. You can also find us on the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, YouTube, and Twitch for the kids. And you're lucky to find us at all this morning.
Yeah, it's one of those days. That's okay. We're here. We're here,
dear
baby.
God.
It's an important Sunday. We got to be on.
This is where I love my Ducks, but I also curse my Ducks sometimes.
Well, these late night games, these 5 p.m. kicks on really big championship, like evenings, it kind of makes things a little tough for the morning.
Well, I cursed my Ducks this morning because just to pull back the curtain of radio, our show during football season, little program that two of you are listening to out at this out in your cars on this Sunday morning, bright and early. What's the over under? What are we putting out of people that are?
Oh,
listening
we love
right
you
now?
Three. Yeah. I'm saying over, and we love every single three.
You're
of
going
you.
Over 2.5.
But it's a close call.
But yeah, our start time is very much predicated on the Seattle Seahawks. But because the Oregon Ducks are now in Big Ten country, there is a lot more Sunday basketball games for the Oregon Ducks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They have the nice Big Ten Pac-12 matchup of UCLA v. Oregon today. I will always mutter that under my breath, by the way. Anytime Oregon faces off against a former Pac-12 team, like they are in the UCLA Bruins today, I'll be like, oh, nice Big Ten Pac-12 matchup. So,
well, we
like
had
that.
A Big Ten Pac-12 matchup earlier this week against USC with
yes,
Oregon Ducks
did.
And USC Trojans in basketball. But yeah, because the Seahawks, I mean, any other day that the Ducks aren't playing basketball on Sunday, we would be here starting at 9 a.m. But
damn
because
right.
We have Seahawks football and Oregon Ducks basketball, and we are obliged to play both of them. The Seahawks are going to be actually on 910 ESPN Portland today, and we are going to start, I believe it's Steelers-Browns at 10 a.m.
I think you are correct, and that is going to be a doozy of a game. Pretty excited to listen to that on the way home.
Can't wait for Jameis to throw for 700 combined passing yards between his own passing yards and interception return yards. Do you know that he set that record last week?
Hey, man.
The most combined passing yards between interception yards and passing yards. That now belongs to Jameis Winston, I think, at like 670-something yards.
That is a perfect record for Mr. Crab Legs. I can't take that low of a shot at him because he has come a long way since stealing those crab legs from the supermarket at Florida State. Seems to be somewhat more of a mature
and
dude
getting
now.
Up on the table in the middle of the student union and, telling everybody to grab –
Yeah. Don't
grab more crab legs.
Yeah, right. Yeah, don't act like Jameis Winston, at least in college. But yeah, on the field, it's still kind of a crapshoot with him, man. Everybody thought that the Browns were surging near a playoff spot with him throwing for, what, four tutties it was a couple of weeks ago. And now it's just as many interceptions. So I don't know. Pick your bag. Do you want Jameis or not? I'd say if I'm a Cleveland Brown fan, anybody but Deshaun Watson or Jameis Winston at this point would make me happier to watch on Sundays.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get that total number for the interception yards for the Browns because, again, I want to try and get whatever the total number of passing yards was for the Jameis Winston, the man of increase. And
the man of increase. I like that.
But, hey, we're here. We're hot. We're live. Hopefully Rashad is just, you know, even conscious. I mean, he might be dead ass asleep right now.
That's true. Hopefully he stumbles on it at nine.
Listen, I didn't even know if I was going to be here up until last night. We're in the thick of tournament basketball play for my Newburgh Tigers right now.
Yeah.
Sixth grade basketball team.
Hot action down in the, what do I call it? The Valley of the Valley of Oregon.
It's the Canby Cougar Classic, all right?
There we go.
It's basically like the Catalina wine mixer of youth basketball tournaments here in Oregon.
The Catalina wine mixer. Give me that right into my veins.
It's the Canby Cougar Classic, okay?
I miss wine mixers.
So, yeah, I mean, I had that going yesterday, and that is the one thing that I am learning, too, is that, you know, the results of Saturday games determine what is to happen with Sunday games, what start times. We have two different teams for the youth, Newburgh youth basketball, sixth grade, and bless the little hearts of the other team because Joey, thankfully, the team he's playing on today, they don't play until around like 3:40. I should probably check the schedule, Jordan.
Hey.
but the other team, they had to tip off at 7:30 this morning.
Oh, so that's what you were kind of in danger of maybe having to be there for. Which...
Yes. Was it a 7:30? Was it an 8 o'clock tip? Was it a 9 o'clock tip?
How do you get kids? I loved playing basketball at the age of 12 or 13, but how do you get kids up at like 5:30, 6 o'clock on a Saturday or a Sunday?
Give them a little C4.
Apparently, because otherwise, good effing
Timmy,
luck.
You've never had an energy drink before in your life, but today you're starting. Yeah, that's tough. A 7:30 start time for dude. Even as a parent, I'd be like,
yeah, exactly.
For a tip off like that, we'd be waking up probably somewhere around like 5:45, 6 a.m.
Yeah, you got to wake up before the kid. Too.
Yeah, exactly. Get ready. I'm starting to play Enter Sandman at the loudest level possible on my soundbar and stereo system at home.
Zombie Nation, wake up, son!
Some Kerncraft. Let's go!
Get him fired up. You're going to score 30 this morning. Does the whole team score 30?
I was going to say, I was like, maybe collectively 30. I think we hit 30 a couple times yesterday. The team this morning, I got the final score update. It was an insane offensive battle with a final score of 30-21.
That's how it goes at that age. I'm not in no case or shape or here tooting my own horn, but there was a game where my team lost, but I scored all of our 14 points. I was like 12 or 13, but we lost by like 30.
Put the team on your back, though.
What team?
I was saying last night, because after my son's games, we went to girlfriend's friend's house. It was a cookie decorating and Christmas festivities and all that.
Yay.
And of course watching football.
And gingerbread houses.
Yes, gingerbread houses were partaken in as well.
Anybody make a duck's gingerbread house?
No, I should have done that now that I think about it. Yeah. But we were there and I was talking to one of the dads and we're talking about, you know, youth basketball and the tournament and stuff like that, and I started floating out the idea. I was like, man, should I just start before every game just for myself, for the fun of it, come up with a spread and a point total for these games just for myself to have fun with? Like, all right, I'm going to set this point total for this game between Newburgh 12U and what are they playing? I'm trying to think of a team they're playing today. Maybe Wilsonville or Canby, 12U.
The Canby Cougars.
Let's set the over-under at, let's go 60.5 total.
Don't say that out loud or the other dads will be like, dude, $5 on the over.
Exactly. It's like, let's put, what are we putting this spread at as well, right?
You'll start becoming a bookmaker. Yeah. And I'm sure there are secret bookmakers at children's sporting events around this country. Actually, I bet there's going to be a documentary about that at some point. The secret underworld of kids sports bookies, now on Netflix.
And then I was just thinking of the idea that at some point when something happens in the game, just yelling out today, like, well, there goes my parlay.
Like, where did he bet on this? What the hell, man? That guy's got a problem.
Offshore gambling. Bovada.
Yeah, Bovada taking the action on this. Yeah. What is it? The Canby Wine Mixer Tournament?
The Canby Cougar Classic. Thank the three you. C's, baby. Yeah, we need a rally. We need a rally from the Newburgh Tigers today. It was tough sledding in game one against Wilsonville. They came out ready to go. And then we played Ida B. Wells. That was a tough back and forth.
Ida B.
We need to get some W's today against Cascade and then some other team. I don't know. But Joey just needs to show up. Oh, we're playing McNary. The McNary fighting. Yeah.
I should know this. Celtics? I'm a South Salem High School Saxon. So the McNary. It's the McKay Celtics. The McNary fighting. No, you know what? I think McNary had to change their name. That's why I don't know.
Oh, was it one of those problematic ones?
Yeah. I think it's the fighting.
Illini.
No, it's the McNary Celtics. So it's the yeah, I was right.
Is South Salem or West Salem the one with the black turf?
That would be West Salem.
West Salem?
Yeah, South Salem has a nice newer turf field, but no, West Salem went black, and that's one of their colors. So
I was going to say that, I did a like a jamboree down there one day during high school where we did the kind of like a little 7-on-7.
Yeah, home of the Titans.
In August or something like that.
They got a nice facility. They host a lot.
Boy, I can imagine during the summertime, that turf is probably 20 to 30 degrees warmer than it actually is than the temperature outside. Like, I can't imagine a black turf is cooling the team down. Maybe it's a reverse thing, that you make the the turf super dark, you make it black, and it actually is cooling and very relaxing to the players on the field.
I mean, you've been at the Odds and Turf when, like, it's game time or, like, right before or after game time on a hot day, and you feel just the, almost the cooking that, like, is happening on the field at that point, like, because the heat, what are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at my esteemed co-host.
Hey, Rashad, what is up? Hey!
In a sweatsuit, sweatshirt, and sweatshorts. Sweatshorts, also a very underrated piece of garment. There.
I do need to get some more pairs of sweatshorts. Well, we had to. We had an 8 a.m. call time, buddy. Rashad just said he started a show without me.
Looks delirious over here. Listen, I was just as delirious. I was lying in bed getting back scratches from the lady this morning. I thought we were all good. Life was good. Ready to go. And then I get the text. When you're getting back scratches from your lady, the last thing you want to text is from Jordan Schultz.
You don't want me involved in anything else
who
in the bedroom.
Who did it? That's what I want to know.
It's those damn ducks.
Damn duckies, buddy.
It's those damn ducks.
Undefeated duckies, by the way. In a Big Ten Pac-12 matchup.
Don't make me hate
UCLA
a team that I love so much right now, because that was the... So I'm just taking my normal, you know, morning pregame, you know, so I'm getting ready to come...
What, sleep?
Well, no. Yeah, there's a, you know, I like to get a little workout, nice little number two. Yeah, I try to get a small workout, a couple push-ups, some jumping jacks. I have to do much more.
You were working out this morning?
Yeah, man. I get a little, try to get a little 15-minute, not long, especially like before the show. Like, I'm not getting up at 7:30 to work out. But if I'm up at 8 o'clock, I can get, you know, 15
just
minutes.
Just got the yoga mat
in.
Laid out. And
yeah.
Actually, I have to go get a new yoga mat. I may have hardwood floors, so it was a little more difficult to do some stuff this morning. Either way.
Look at you.
You know what I did last night, too? Joe typically sends out a nice little message to the team.
See, thank you.
Saying, like, hey, guys, 9 a.m. show next week, or 8 a.m. show, or no show after this because of the Seahawks. I was like, okay. So last night, I was just to make sure, because there was a good chance Joe wasn't going to be here today. There's a good chance he was going to be with us. He was going to be with Joey as he was playing in a
We've been talking about the Canby Cougar Classic.
Yeah.
It's the Catalina Wine Mixer.
It's the Catalina Wine Mixer. It's the freaking Catalina Wine Mixer, man. And so I looked back just to see, like, hey, there's no 8 a.m., 9 a.m. Cool. I just happened to be in the restroom, and let me look through my messages. And sure enough, Jordan Schultz, 802. Hey, guys, the show starts at 8 a.m. today. What are you talking about? The show starts at 8 a.m. So luckily, I live close. I'm only about a 6-minute drive, you know, from here. So
well, and luckily, I was at the lady friend's house tonight, which is just on the east side there. You know, 10-15 minute drive. If I was in Newburgh this morning, I'd have been like, yeah, well,
Myron and Metcalf this morning is what you'd have been listening to.
Best of luck, boys. And then I'm throwing you under the bus to Swigart tomorrow. Like, hey, man, I don't know what happened. You know,
no, yeah. So sorry about that, folks. Sorry about that, guys.
Well, again, I blame the Ducks.
That's a good reason to blame. They're right now, I think the Ducks are going to get every pass in the world from anybody in Oregon and the Northwest.
But I was telling Jordan, I was like, because they now, because the Ducks rarely play basketball on Sundays, but now because of this Big Ten move, I was looking at their schedule. They have within the next 2 months, I think like 5 Sunday games.
You know what?
Or something like that.
I think it's easy to forget the basketball moves, you know, with all the schools kind of moving, like, because football is king, obviously.
Oh yeah.
But it's really easy to forget about all the moves that were made in college basketball and the fact that now the Ducks are in the Big Ten and are going to play Michigan, you know, twice a year and stuff like that. Like, that's pretty big.
Yeah, Michigan I'm excited State. For like the what is it the Purdue's the Indiana's to come through. I want to see them play Indiana. Like, I don't know if the Indiana is coming to Autzen this year, but that's a matchup that I'm really looking forward to, because Indiana, it's like they're the Hoosiers.
They're the Hoosiers.
I mean, come on now,
they're the Hoosiers.
Also Illinois, you know, there's some fun Big Ten teams that they'll be playing in college basketball.
That's a lot of fun. That Big Ten tournament is going to be awesome.
Yes.
This year.
Yes.
And I guess it is a good way to solve some of like the school issues, going to classes with longer travel days between conferences now with the Pac-12 moving to the Big Ten, or most of it anyways, and then the Big 12. Yeah, just put it on a Saturday or Sunday as opposed to a Thursday night as often, and they don't miss as much class. It really is a pretty easy solution here. So it sucks. But I get it.
I'm looking at last year's Oregon Ducks basketball schedule. There were 2 games on Sunday last year.
So that, direct response to what happened.
In the entire Oregon Ducks season, whereas,
Look at Oregon, baby, on the map now.
Moving on.
Look at it. You know, and that's
to the Big Ten.
You know, that's such an awesome thing about going to the Big Ten, or even Oregon winning the Big Ten, like, because we don't have a professional team here in the state of Oregon, you know, the Oregon Ducks are the professional team for us, pretty much. They are the team that everybody, for the most part, support, unless you're wearing orange and black. Other than that, most people here in the state of Oregon are repping the Oregon Ducks. So for them to be undefeated, 13-0, heading into their bye for the tournament, like,
well, hey, we don't know yet.
Oh no. Oh yeah. Let's hold off.
We'll find out in 13 minutes.
Yeah, let's hold off hope, but let's just assume, right, that they're going to be number one. God, what a season for these guys, man. Like, honestly, this is the most, and I've said this before on the show, this is the most confident I've been in this team ever.
Well, Rashad, the 9 a.m. is when they do the official bracket reveal for the college football playoffs. Mm-hmm. So let's take a little break. Let's talk about the championship game, the Big Ten championship game, the Ducks hoisting the trophy, the Big Ten championship trophy, for the first time in their school's history and for the first time since coming to the Big Ten, which was just this year.
Mm.
Let's get to all of it right now here on Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan. All right, we are 10 minutes away here on 1080 The Fan and Football Sunday from finding out, just like you out there, what is going to be the college football playoff bracket, the first one of the expanded playoffs. But there is one thing we know for sure, and that is the Oregon Ducks will go in as the number one seed, because they finish off not just the regular season, but conference play, the conference championship, undefeated 13-0 with a win against Penn State last night in Indianapolis. Just personally, It feels good. I mean, the last conference championship they had was 2020 in the Pac-12, which was the abbreviated COVID year. So, and it was very weird how the tiebreakers worked out with them and USC and Washington that year. And so, I mean, it just, you know, it was a conference championship, quote unquote, but it was just, it was weird. So the last time they had a full season conference title was the year before, 2019. And so going 5 years, essentially, between conference championships, and again, just can't be stated enough, going in your first season, winning the conference title in the Big Ten, after planting your flag and staking your claim early on during media days, you have a giant ass duck floating down the river in Indianapolis, and then to run the table, go 13-0, and not only win every game in the Big Ten, you beat Ohio State, you beat Penn State, you beat Michigan, you beat every team that was in your way. I mean, those are the three most storied programs essentially in the Big Ten. And you beat them all. Mm-hmm. And as an Oregon Duck fan, as an Oregon alum, seeing them go and do this and showing the nation that we're ready for the Big Ten. We are more than capable of running this conference. Just couldn't be more proud of this team. Couldn't be more happy of the performance last night. Just hats off, Big Ten champs, the Oregon Ducks.
This was not just an Oregon middle finger to the rest of the country, but pretty much an Pac-12 middle finger to everybody else.
I mean, really, yesterday in general was a Pac-12. I mean, if you want to include
we'll
that,
get there. We're going to get to Oregon, Arizona State, you know, as well. Shout out to them for doing their job in a new conference. But it's more than that. We forget he beat the guy that's going to win the Heisman later, you know, in a few weeks. More than likely, Ashton Jeanty is going to be the person that walks away with that award. I mean, we could say Travis Hunter. You know, there's a good chance Hunter does it.
Very high betting favorite.
Yeah, he's a very high betting favorite. However, Ashton Jeanty, I think for a lot of people, is the sentimental favorite because you see that he's been doing some record breaking stuff this year. Like, really, he's going to go down as one of the best running backs, you know, in college over the last like 20 years, just based on the numbers and the stuff that he's been able to do. That's early in the season in a close game. Since then, the Ducks have been a hot knife through butter, through everybody. I really think that Boise State game was the last game they really struggled like that. Everything. Ohio State was, you know, a tough game.
The Wisconsin game as well.
Wisconsin, stuff like that. But I think there was some nerves in those games. Obviously, Ohio State came down to a field goal, you know, in the end. But that Boise State game against a real running back, against a guy that, you know, is going to probably go pretty high within the draft, within the first, you know, 15 to 20 picks or something like that. I'm looking at this team, and mind you, is Dylan Gabriel Marcus Mariota? No. Like, we're just going to go ahead and start there by saying that just look at his numbers, and you can tell he's not Mariota. Outside of that, this team as a whole, top to bottom, offense, defense, defensive line, corners, receiver. This is the most complete Oregon team I think I've ever seen.
I mean, at least since like 2012.
But it's been like a long time. And really, even those teams, there were issues. Marcus had some fumbleitis issues where he just couldn't hang on to the ball. The offensive line just couldn't block against bigger, tougher opponents in most cases. Like against Ohio State, Oregon's going to the game. Or what was this, the Rose Bowl? This was some years ago, and Oregon goes in to win the national championship and just get tossed around by the defensive line. You know, they play against Auburn, and really the Auburn tossed you around a little bit too. This is the first time you're seeing the Oregon Ducks offensive line bully people and just move guys out the way to make big holes for some of these running backs. And I'm just like, it's watching this, and me and my wife are watching, and she's like, they're scoring so fast. They're moving up the field so fast. It's like, yeah, they're not putting up 70 points like they used to, but these games feel more realistic and winnable, you know, every day that the Ducks are in these, man. So I'm looking at this team saying, man, I think this is the year. I mean, I'm not trying to jinx anything, and I wish I had some. I'm going to knock on the faux marble, but I'm I'm looking at all the teams that this team that Oregon has had over the last, let's just say, 15 years since 2000 or 2020 or 2010. This team looks really, really good, and they look poised to make a big run in this this playoff.
Let me just really quickly say, as a Ducks fan, I am reveling in this Big Ten championship in the first season, and I am so stoked that I think finally they'll be able to turn the narrative and not be the team that's almost gotten there, almost gotten it done, you know, early 2010s against Auburn, losing by the field goal, against Ohio State, getting their ass absolutely handed to them. And that was after they scared the hell out of Urban Meyer. You all remember that press conference where he found out, like, oh, Oregon beat Florida State. What was it, like 59-20? And he's like Oregon won by 40? Ooh, I got to go prepare, like, you know, making that joke. Like, Oregon has just been like this formidable opponent, but not really taken seriously. 2019 season wasted with a Rose Bowl appearance only with Justin Herbert's senior year under Mario Cristobal. They could have gotten there, but they didn't, you know, because of a couple of losses, especially early in the season. One loss to Auburn really sticks out. But now they have the shot. So it's nice to thankfully, hopefully get past the almost and the not quite of the past and really be a true, you know, whether you want to call it new blood or blue blood in college football.
Yeah, it was. Well, I mean, it's crazy that this, and it happens every year, that the season has already come to this. Like, here we are now, playoff time, right? But just taking a look back at the ups and downs of this season, and also comparing to what we've seen in years past in the Pac-12, where it's self-cannibalization, where you're losing 1, 2, 3 games, 4 games, whatever the case may be, for them to just, again, step up into a new conference, answer the bell, and win every single game, and also rally from the start of the season, too. Like, it seems so long ago, but I mean, we are a couple months removed from the Idaho and Boise State games.
Mm-hmm.
And then for them to start clicking and start playing some of their best football throughout the season, and then even have the slight hiccup that ended up turning into a win against Wisconsin. I mean, there's so many things about this season where it could not have ended up like this. And they just rallied and persevered through. And to have them go 13-0. And again, get those wins against big opponents, big teams. I'm glad that they won, got to play Penn State in this game.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's just like, we'll take on every single one of you, and we will beat every single one of you. And they did exactly that. Just props to Dan Lanning, props to that entire team. And, Rashad, I mean, I hope it comes to fruition this year, and I hope the depth of this team, the talent of this team, shows itself, January 1st or December 31st, whenever that first playoff game is for them, because they are going to get the bye week, and it kills me. We were kind of talking about this last night, me and a buddy, the place I was at, is that the whole first round, they get a home playoff game, right? Mm-hmm. The seeds 5 through 8 get to host a playoff game. And there was a small contingency of people like, oh, man, well, wouldn't it be nice to host a playoff game? I'm like, I'm more of a fan of the path of least resistance, and that is playing one less football game, one less chance of players getting hurt, one less chance of something stupid happening.
Yeah, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, let me get a bye week, please.
I love that bye week. And the first game that Oregon will play, will it be at Autzen or will it be?
No.
No, it's a bowl game.
It is a bowl game. Yeah. It will be, and I'm pretty sure it's been locked in that they would play in the Rose Bowl on January 1st.
How? Come on, man.
If Ohio State beats Tennessee, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
A true Rose Bowl.
Yeah, that will be awesome.
But low-key, I mean, if that's the matchup, if that Tennessee, is Ohio State, Tennessee, I know Rashad wants to see Tennessee win.
Oh,
that game.
I would love to see Tennessee get boat raced by the Ducks. I think that would be awesome.
I want to see Ohio State get beaten again by Oregon. And they don't have their starting center anymore. He tore his ACL, I believe, so he's out for the year. So I think Oregon could beat up on him a little bit.
Well, there is part of me that it's like, I want this Ducks season to be like, we beat you, we beat you, we beat you. So I don't mind seeing a Tennessee victory over Ohio State and Oregon playing Tennessee in the game. That's what I want. But let's take a break because we are about to get the start of the playoff bracket being revealed. And hopefully we can come back. They will start doing that because, you know, they're going to do their filibustering on ESPN for a little bit beforehand as well. So we will take a break. We will start getting some playoff bracket results here, 1 through 12, and we will react right here, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Dude. Dude.
I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, you want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two of Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, YouTube, and Twitch for the kids.
Time's flying right by, huh?
I know. I was going to say hour number two, or technically halfway through hour one still.
Yeah, still in the middle of, yeah, I think that's the one.
What is, who is winning? What is occurring? We got Kirk Herbstreit on the TV right now talking about why Bama should get in, I'm sure. Then they'll have Nick Saban on there talking about why Bama should get in, I'm sure. And then they'll have Booker McFarland on there talking about why Bama should get in, I'm sure. That is going to be one of the biggest debates as we're about to get the rankings here soon. College football playoff selection show on ESPN at this moment of time is what team gets in, because the biggest shakeup in all this yesterday was Clemson beating SMU in the ACC championship, which, by the way, I mean, SMU climbing back in that game to even give themselves a chance.
Yeah.
And then Clemson getting the kick return, getting a playoff, and sinking a 56-yard field goal to win that game. I mean, holy crap. Anyways.
Yeah. I'd be lying if I didn't say I was kind of going for SMU.
Oh, just I was a little too. Bit. I am always a fan of seeing something I haven't seen before. So a team like an SMU, a team like Arizona State.
Yeah.
Going to the college football playoff, teams winning it, winning championships that I haven't seen, that, because I feel like I can always go back on, like, I remember when this team won their first championship. I remember when this team beat this team, you know, for the first time. Like SMU, I mean, SMU has not been relevant in my lifetime.
No.
Up until a couple of years ago. And this is,
I think I was like 3 or 4 when they were relevant.
And then, so, I mean, kudos to them for almost winning that game against Clemson last night. But that has now created this problem that the selection committee has, is that last at-large bid is, do you give it to a two-loss SMU team that just barely lost in the ACC championship game, or do you give it to an SEC team, 3-loss Alabama? And that's what they're looking at right now. That is,
which is
or do
insane.
You give it to, and they're not going to do this, do you give it to Miami, who has 2 losses as well, but didn't make the ACC? I think Miami, they're done. They're not going to.
Miami doesn't have a signature win. As much as I'm a huge fan of the U. Like, that's my, as a kid and everything growing up, like when I was in high school, Miami was the team, you know, and so I've always had like a lot of respect and a lot of love for the U. However, I don't really think they have like a great win to hang their hat on this season. And they've got 2 losses that probably shouldn't have been losses at all. But hey, you know, what can you say at this point? So I think they might be out. But you already know.
Miami also has like 3 or 4 wins that probably were close to being lost. I mean, they should have lost that Cal game straight up.
Yeah, they definitely do, which is why I don't think they'll get that call.
No.
So yeah, again, I mean, Bama is just, if for nothing else, for financial reasons, to have Bama in the playoff the first year would make sense to me.
Who does ESPN have a deal with, a TV contract with? What conference are they? Oh, that's right, SEC.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
It's really hard to, as we're talking about conference championships, it's really hard to look on the TV and see Boise State beating UNLV 21-7.
I know. You're running Rebs.
I thought, I was thinking, and there's a real shot that this works out. and they make this playoff.
Until it didn't.
Yeah. I was thinking that that could really happen today.
And here, again, did I not say they were going to be filibustering? It's like, before we show you the selection.
Oh yeah.
God, they're just
here is the recap of the conference champions and some resumes of those contenders for first round buys.
How do you draw out something that's really only 10 minutes long on a 2-hour show?
Oh, ESPN will do it.
Yeah, they'll make sure they do.
I guess another debate that they're currently having right now, but it's like, who do you give a first round bye to? Do you give it to Boise State? Do you give it to Arizona State? They're showing the key wins. Arizona State has key wins against Kansas State, BYU, Iowa State, whereas the Boise State key wins are, sorry, Rashad, UNLV twice, and Washington State.
I resent your tone as you say that, but yeah.
And also, I feel like Boise State gets propped up by their loss more than their wins. Like, a lot of people are like, but Boise State, they barely lost to Oregon. It's like, mm-hmm. Okay, but yeah, they lost. And if you're using a loss as a way to prop up the resume, like, then what about Arizona State? Like, look at their losses. One of their losses, they didn't have their starting quarterback. I forget if that was the Texas Tech game. I'm forgetting their other loss that they had. But again, if we're going to start like putting value in losses, like, all right, well, let's start doing that for every team then.
I think we kind of have to. And I think that's what they're going to do in the case of Alabama. And they're going to look at those losses and who are they to? Okay, well.
One of them was to Oklahoma, where they only scored 3 points. Yeah. And Oklahoma is terrible.
We're not going to talk about that game. That one doesn't matter. But I do think strength of schedule and who you lose to is an important aspect of this whole thing. I think if Ohio
it was Cincinnati that Arizona State lost to when they did not have their quarterback Sam Leavitt, Westland's own.
I remember Cincinnati just 2 years ago was in the playoff. Wasn't it two seasons ago when Cincinnati was, or was it three? Either way, within the last 3 years.
I think three seasons ago. Because 2 seasons ago was TCU was in the national championship game, and that was not the same year as Cincinnati being in the playoffs. So, yeah, it was Cincy 3 years ago, TCU 2 years ago, and then Washington, Texas, Michigan, and Alabama last year.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's all a matter of perspective when we start talking about those fringe teams, those ones that we know, it could be not. Like, it's going to be a lot of favoritism. So I think a lot of people are going to be kind of pissed off that if there is, a 3-loss Bama team that happens to make the playoff, and then you got some other 2- and 3-loss teams that aren't. But here's a great thing about this, though, and I was kind of thinking about this. Oregon's biggest thing for the longest time has been the need to stay perfect in order to make it to the playoff, right? Man, we have to go 11-1. You got to go 12-0 just to be able to be in the conversation of that. Got to win the conference championship just to be in the conversation to go to the playoff. Now, we're seeing that teams with 2 losses are going to be in. So all of a sudden, like, that need for perfection every year, which is, I'm sure, what everybody wants on the team, but that's a lot of pressure on everybody to make sure that, man, we cannot lose a game, especially without a preseason, without a tune-up game. Can't lose a game. So I think a lot of that pressure's off. You're going to see Oregon make the playoff and probably win a lot.
Okay, I'm going to make an executive decision, and I'm going to go to break because, shocker, ESPN is filibustering. I wouldn't even be surprised if they try to go to a commercial break before releasing the bracket. So right now they're talking to reporters in Alabama and SMU about, how the teams are feeling. So let's take a quick break. Hopefully by the time we come back, they will start getting to the bracket announcement here, and we will have that reaction for you live right here on Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan. All right. We are back here on Football Sunday. And wouldn't you know it, ESPN milking those advertising dollars, baby, right now.
Nice Billy Idol.
Yeah, right now I'm seeing something for Align yogurt tablets to help with your gut health.
I hate that.
I'm sure they're delicious.
Hey, I'm sure there's a lot of people right now that are going through some indigestion, wondering if their team's going to make it, what they're going to be seated as, I don't blame them. I might need an Align tablet right now.
Yeah, guess who's not, though? Anybody in the state of Oregon. I think they're good. I think there's no no real worry about where they're going to play the first round. Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, not at all. So Oregon won. I think it would probably be safe to say that Georgia will be 2.
That's what we're hearing, I think.
Yeah, Georgia 2. And then it's just a matter of, yeah, where do you put the ACC? Do you put Arizona State as the 3?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. I think you have to. I mean, if it's between Arizona State and Boise State, like...
Well, again, do you give Clemson the 3 and then Arizona State the 4?
Any combination of those is fine because you don't want to put a Mountain West school. Sorry to the UNLV running Rebels. To the Boise State Broncos. But you don't want to put a Mountain West school in the situation where they're getting a bye. Their schedule is not strong enough. And I'm so confused. I guess I didn't really understand this, but I'm not alone. A lot of people are kind of confused by the college football playoff ranking rules. I didn't think a Mountain West school, even the conference champion, was able to even get a first round bye. I kind of thought they were more included in like the at-large bids because that's kind of the level of maybe what their schedule is, and we just assumed that going in, but we were all proven wrong this
year. Also, remind you, the removal of the Pac-12 basically made it easier for you to tell a school like Boise State from the Mountain West to be able to get in. Honestly, like if the Pac-12 were still around, that champion would clearly be the one that would be there, and then the Mountain West team would be an at-large bid. But yeah, but the only way for a Mountain West team to sincerely secure a bye is they have to go undefeated.
Yeah,
that's going to be the only way in the future that that a Mountain West team is going to be able to make it in, like with no problem, is win your Mountain West championship and go undefeated.
Yes. Also, to go back onto that SMU Alabama at large thing, because for God's sakes, I hope that ESPN is about to start announcing some of these rankings, which I believe they're doing right now. Alabama. Or SMU, the committee said, we're not going to punish teams for losing a conference championship game. If that's the case, I mean, SMU's got to be in then. You can't punish them to be like, well, you should have won that game, and now we're going to give it to Alabama. And Alabama being rewarded for beating an Auburn team at the end of the year, and then Citadel School for the Blind after losing to Oklahoma.
Derek Center for Kids Who Can't Read Good, and like, you don't.
Yeah,
you don't get rewarded for that, I don't think, just because you're Alabama. That's just me personally.
The rankings have begun.
Breaking news, guys.
Oregon is number 1.
Breaking freaking news.
Shocker, at 13-0, the only undefeated team remaining in the country. They are number 1 seed in the college football playoff bracket. And the number 2 seed goes to the Georgia Bulldogs.
Man.
At 11-2 after they beat Texas last night in the SEC championship game, in an overtime SEC championship game.
Will Ortner was teasing me that Georgia was going to get a number 1 seed over Oregon. Not really. Like, obviously it was a joke, but...
I was going to say, there's no way he was serious.
We were messing with each other.
Thank God.
Then I was, you know, kind of going back and being like, oh, I could hear the justification. Well, you know, Georgia's worst 2 losses are actually better than Oregon's
and
worst
win.
Let's
look at the strength of schedule, too.
So, yeah, we need to, you know, see what conference that... No, shut up. It is pretty funny. Even, I know they have beaten Texas, but... Even after 2 losses, to see them as the number 2 seed.
All right, and they're about to announce the number 3 seed because, again, it comes down to these 3 conference championship champions,
Arizona State, Boise State,
and Clemson, and Boise State gets the 3 seed. Wow. So Boise State, they come in as the 9th-ranked team, but that is the 3rd-highest-ranked conference champion. So Boise State will get a first-round bye in the college football playoff.
I love it. Go Mountain West.
It could be an Oregon v. Boise State national championship.
I'm down.
Just think about that.
Hey, sign me up. But Boise State, I mean, kudos to them. Kudos to their season. Kudos to Ash and Genty for putting the team on his back. Shout out to Dirk Cutter, too. Former Tampa Bay head coach, now OC at Boise State. Couldn't even tell you who their head coach is, but I can't tell you who the head coach is of the 4th-ranked team, and that is Kenny Dillingham and the Arizona State Sun Devils. They will get a first-round bye. Unbelievable. What a season for the Sun Devils. I said yesterday, I tweeted it out at JoeFish3FISCH that Kenny Dillingham taking Arizona State to the conference championship game, winning it, and now getting a first round bye in the first 12 team playoff is one of the most impressive coaching performances I have ever seen in my life, considering how he inherited that team after the mess Herm Edwards and that staff left him with. Just absolutely unreal.
And I want to say they were picked to finish
dead 10th, last,
you know, last, you know, in the Big 12. And here they are from the Pac-12, two teams from the Pac-12, first round byes for the first ever playoff, you know. Hey, man, well, I guess the Pac-12 wasn't that bad, right?
No. Arizona State, they are the, I think they might have messed up the graphic or something like that, because it says they're the they're ranked 12th, but it has them two spots behind Boise State. I would die if ESPN did mess up. Do you see what I'm looking at right there?
No, I see exactly what you're looking at. I think. So what's the 10th ranked team? 11?
Where's 11?
Math.
No, you don't need 11. That's not the point, because the CFP rankings are not the top 12 rankings.
That's true.
That's why that makes sense.
So, like, Clemson is ranked 16th, but because they are the last conference champion, they get the 12th seed. So whoever Clemson goes up against, which will be the number 5 seed, which we would assume is either – is probably going to be Texas – you're going to probably be looking at a Clemson-Texas first-round matchup at the 12-5. But Clemson is your last conference champion, so they get seated in as the lowest seed possible at number 12. So now it's just finding out what, I guess, 5 through 11 is now at this point.
And this is interesting because we will see who will play Oregon here coming up in, what, about 3 minutes, I think?
If they
reveal it in order.
Number 3 ranked team, but the best at-large team is Texas at number 5. So Texas-Clemson will be your first-round matchup that will be played at Texas. So the Clemson Tigers taking on the Texas Longhorns in the 5 versus 12 matchup. The winner of that will go on to take Arizona State. That will be the were you throwing your hands up because of the UNLV head coach Barry Odom?
Oh, I mean, you can't get nothing to last over there, man.
Yeah, breaking news in the middle of this playoff reveal. UNLV head coach Barry Odom going to Purdue. So there
oh,
you
wow.
go there.
Wow.
I saw Rashad throw his hands up. I was like, they didn't even reveal anything yet. And then on the bottom
man.
Ticker.
Can't have nothing so nice sorry, in Vegas, man.
There goes the running Rebs with back-to-back 10-win season. Sorry about that.
Did you see Texas's celebration compared to all the others? That was so fun.
Not amused.
Golf clap.
Yeah, they're in the cafeteria eating.
It's a hard day for Texas.
Tough
you know,
day.
Like after last night's game, and then you have to, I'm pretty sure you're forced to go to the cafeteria and do this right now. You're already pissed off because you could have been playing in the first bowl game. So that's crazy.
Penn State gets the 6th seed. After losing to the Ducks in the Big Ten championship game, they are ranked 4th, but they are the 2nd at-large team. So they come in at number 6. So depending on who they are, that would be the 11th seed that they're going to be playing. So this could be the SMU or Alabama, I believe. At large bid here that they might be revealing next.
Yes,
they,
it's V11. Yeah,
they might be tabling that for the end. They might want to save the
that's going to be the big surprise.
Last, yeah, I don't know if they're going to show this just yet. But Penn State, whoever they play, it will be at Penn State, and that will go to the winner of that will go to Boise State. Yeah, they're not showing who that last at large team is, so they skipped to number 7, Notre Dame. Notre Dame is the next at-large team behind Penn State, and whoever they end up facing will go on to take on Georgia in the next round. But Notre Dame will host a playoff game. They are the number 5 ranked team, but number 7 in the rankings, so they will take the 7th seed. And whoever they end up facing here that they will reveal here in a second will go up against Georgia in the quarterfinals. Nice little finish to Notre Dame season after losing Northern Illinois early in that season.
Yeah, that was their only real, obviously their only slip up, you know, of the season. Without that win, maybe they're a 5 seed, you know, at the very least or the very most so.
And here's what Oregon fans are waiting to see is what that 8-9 matchup is going to be. And the first team is revealed. Number 8 is Ohio State.
Not a surprise there.
So Ohio State, the number 8 team, and then they will probably show the number 9 team next, which all roads to lead to Tennessee. Rocky Top at this point is who we believe is going to get that number 9 seed. Nice for Ohio State and Tennessee. I mean, they just didn't even have to do anything this week, and they get seeds.
That's huge.
Same with Notre Dame, though, in a sense, right? They just had to just sit and wait, but they took care of their business at 11-1. I mean, besides Boise State, Notre Dame is the only other one-loss team in all of this. But we have 3 slots remaining in the college football playoff bracket, the first 12-team bracket ever. And so it comes down to Tennessee. They're probably going to get this 9 seed that they'll reveal here in a second, which they just have. So it will be Ohio State versus Tennessee and that game will be played at Ohio State. The winner of Ohio State Tennessee will take on Oregon. So those are your 2 potential matchups for the Oregon Ducks in the quarterfinals.
I will never root so hard for Ohio State in my life.
And I feel like real quickly, maybe we do it after they reveal these last 2 spots. Why you need to, or you need to share why you are not a Tennessee fan.
Oh, not a problem, man.
But Oregon will either take on Ohio State, a rematch from the Big Ten matchup earlier this year, or they will take on Tennessee in the quarterfinals, which I am going for that matchup. I want to see them play as many great teams as possible one season en route to a national championship. I want to see them take on an SEC team just to have also that feather in their cap of beating an SEC team in the college football playoffs and in this 2024 season. But that will be their potential matchup, either Ohio State or Tennessee. And again, they have said that is a Rose Bowl game that will be.
So now look at the potential path to a championship for Oregon. At least in my mind, this seems to be the hardest way to go. You're looking at if you win over Tennessee or Ohio State, Texas or Arizona State, and then, you know, facing in the championship, possibly Georgia.
Just dismissing Dabo, huh?
I don't think Clemson's going to get it done against Texas. Sorry, yes, I am absolutely dismissing Dabo. But Oregon would have to play a Tennessee, possibly, then a Texas, then a Georgia to get the Natty? Are you freaking kidding me?
Welcome to the 12-team playoff.
Wow.
And welcome to the 12-team playoff. Indiana, the Indiana Hoosiers, who I forgot, another one-loss team after the amazing season that Kurt Cignetti and the Hoosiers had there. They get the 10 seed and will be taking on Notre Dame. In Notre Dame, in South Bend, Indiana, that is the 7-10 matchup. The winner of that game will go on and take on Georgia, which I'm trying to remember what all the bowl games are and everything, like for the quarterfinals. I don't know if they've, I'm guessing that will be either the Peach Bowl in Atlanta or the Sugar Bowl is my guess, the quarterfinal games. And now it comes down to who are they going to give that final spot to, either Alabama or SMU. And they have to show you for the 8th time during this broadcast their resumes before. And I'm going to guess that they're going to go back to the panel. And they're going to ask all of them their opinions.
Damn it.
They're going to ask Nick Saban what he thinks.
And do you think we get another commercial break in here?
Of course.
Ooh, from ESPN.
What time is it? Oh, they might go to a break for...
I don't know. They went straight back to the graphic of the bracket. They might just reveal it here. But
here we go.
There is only one spot
Roll
left.
Tide.
Who is going to play Penn State? Who is the final at-large bid in the college football playoff, the 12-team field? The winner of that game is going to be... meet Boise State in the quarterfinal round. The suspense is killing me.
I can't take it.
I am waiting for the Alabama A to show up. I think they're going to do it.
They're absolutely going to do it.
I think they're going to screw SMU here, and they're going
to
put
the
in
fact
Alabama.
That they haven't had to put a graphic up about it. Should it be SMU or Alabama? Kind of let you know, like, okay, we know where this is going
to
go.
I swear to God, after what SMU did last night, coming back in that game and almost winning and giving themselves a chance against Clemson. I mean, like, they were literally, oh, my God, they give it to SMU.
They do the right thing.
SMU gets the final at-large bid over Alabama, and the college football playoff committee does the right thing.
No. No.
Yes, yes.
And no. Holy
That is James
S.
Franklin, by the way. So
I cannot believe they actually did it. They have a soul. They have a heart. They have a brain.
Ah.
Alabama is the first team out, Miami the second team out, and the SMU Stangs are going to take on Penn State in the first round, and the winner of that game will take on Boise State. But our 12-team bracket is official. It is the first 12-team bracket in college football FBS history, and it is Oregon, Georgia, Arizona State, Boise State with your first round byes, and then your matchups are SMU, Penn State, Indiana, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Tennessee, and then Clemson, Texas.
Look how pissed Kirk and Nick look.
Oh, I'm sure they're all...
Look how pissed they are.
Well, and don't forget, what's his nuts?
Kalen DeBoer, new head coach at Alabama?
The former quarterback of Alabama. No, that they have on there, Greg McElroy.
Oh, yeah? Oh, McElroy's on there?
Yeah.
Yeah, look at the very right. Yeah, I mean, guys, that is insane to me.
I can't believe they did it.
Alabama beat Missouri. Alabama beat Georgia this season.
Oh, listen to the Alabama honk over here. Listen to this.
I'm not a honk! I get that Tennessee beat them, but... yikes. Yeah. I guess they... You know what? I guess I do... I do find it good that we live in a world where SEC teams don't get this handed to them. Let's also say that.
This is also, I mean, a direct result of you losing that Oklahoma game.
Yeah.
That was one of the biggest indictments of your season. And if that maybe happens earlier in the season, it's enough time for people to forget and for you to build up goodwill where you're like, look how we've played these last 4, 5, 6 weeks. Losing to that Oklahoma team this
year. And only
year,
scoring three.
Dude, that is such an indictment on this team. But I really can't believe that they made the right call. I mean, SMU, they are they lost one game in the regular season. Alabama lost three. Also, look at it that way. Like, try to take the two-loss aspect out of their record, because one of those was just last night in a last-second field goal against Clemson in an ACC championship game. Try and take that part out of it. And the committee said, we're not going to punish teams that have a loss in a conference championship game. And they stuck to it, and they include SMU. Alabama is not in it. I just can't believe they did it. I really can't.
I'm really, really happy as a football fan, because we're often used to seeing Big Brother Alabama just kind of get handed, or really any whatever the flavor of the month is from Georgia or from the SEC that kind of gets handed that spot because the SEC is so competitive and everything. So I'm happy to see that they let SMU compete, let them see what they can do. What if SMU... I mean, I'm knocking on faux marble here, but what if they're able to make it to the championship? I don't think it's going to happen, but shoot, man, they put themselves in a position to potentially, we've seen crazier things happen in the playoffs. So,
well, how about this? Let's take a break and let's do our brackets. We do it during March Madness. I guess it's a December debacle. What do we call this now? Well, if there's March Madness, is it December debacle? Is it January? What's something that starts with a GA? Is a synonym for madness. We'll come up with
jaunt?
A name during the break. The January jaunt.
That's kind of light madness.
Sounds like a dance from the 50s.
All
right, everybody.
Do the January jaunt. It's better than January jingle. So all right, I don't know.
Let's do a break. We'll figure out an alliteration for the bracket, and we'll do a bracket. Let's do our brackets live on air, shall we? Our first 12-team bracket ever in the college football playoff FBS history right here on Football Sunday. But first, Jordan Schultz with the Sports Center update. All right, so we didn't look up the thesaurus, a different word for madness. That's December or January. You can do that now.
January jam.
The January jam.
January joust.
That's pretty good.
The January joust.
Jam's better than joust.
Okay.
Joust means fight, though, at least, kind of.
Yeah, the video game NBA jam. Pretty cool. Yeah.
I just look up madness in the thesaurus. Strongest matches, delusion. The December delusion. Oh, these are the December delirium.
Okay.
December derangement. These don't have the
doesn't roll the way I want it to.
Yeah, December derangement sounds funny, but it doesn't roll.
Thesaurus sucks. What are they doing? All right, let's take a look at the bracket. Actually, it's pretty fun. Colin Wilson, I believe, of the Action Network, a gambling guy. He is already getting some of the projected gambling spreads for potential quarterfinal matchups for some of the 1-4 seeds.
Okay.
But let's break down the bracket, baby. The 5-12 matchup, Clemson at Texas. Projections for the spread of that game is Texas is a 14.5-point favorite. Clemson at Texas, 5-12. The winner versus Arizona State. Who do you got?
5-12. I think I want to go Arizona State. You know,
no. Texas versus Clemson.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The winner takes on Arizona State.
Oh, Texas versus Clemson. I'm sorry. I like Texas in this game. I think Texas, their kryptonite just happens to be Georgia. As long as they can kind of stay away from Georgia, I think they should be fine. But, yeah, I think Clemson is one of those teams, and I'm not going to say limped into the playoff, but, yeah, like they weren't as strong as we're used to seeing Clemson teams be over the last little bit. So I think Texas has been one of the best teams all year outside of two hiccups against a really, really good Georgia team.
Texas. I don't really need to say much more. Defense, and they're great. So,
I'm going Tejas as well. I think they get the dub in that first round. So then it would be a Texas-Arizona State Peach Bowl matchup there. In the 8-9, Tennessee at Ohio State, projection spread for that one is Ohio State -6 over Tennessee. Rashad, why do you dislike Tennessee so much?
Because a Tennessee legend stole my lady right in front of me, basically. Like,
well,
it was a
sucks.
Weird thing. Like, it was super weird. And those colors are gaudy, and I hate the song Rocky Top, and it was a great experience, but a crappy one as well.
But mostly because of... A former Tennessee player taking your girl.
And screw the Olympics, you know what I'm saying? But,
Was it a track and field?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, that's
like,
all right.
You know, Olympian, medalist, who cares? Like, you know? For those reasons alone, man... let's go Buckeyes.
All right, so Buckeyes for Rashad. What about you, Jordan Schultz?
I want to say Tennessee, but I think Ohio State's going to get it done. I think it'll be a rematch, Ohio State v. Oregon. They're a little shorthanded right now, but Chip Kelly and Ryan Day, man, they've been getting it a lot lately in the media, so I'm assuming they would like to right that ship, and they'd like to maybe answer some of the haters with some results on the field, so... they'll be giving their best effort against Tennessee, and they'll most likely get the win.
Yeah, as much as I want to go with Tennessee in this one, I'm going to go Ohio State as well. I think that somehow, some way, they're going to be able to rally the troops after, you know, losing their last game at home against Michigan and using that as somewhat of a fuel to be like, hey, let's not lose this opportunity. We have a chance to go out of our home stadium with a win. Feeling good about leaving Columbus and going in and getting our redemption against Oregon. Now, that's the tough part, is you don't want to look ahead, right? Like, that's was kind of their problem why they lost to Michigan, is they were probably looking ahead at the Big Ten championship game, and they were able to fall short of that by falling to Michigan. But I'm going to go Ohio State. I think they are the better team. I think they're a more talented team. Hope it's a great game. Hope Tennessee wins, but I'm going Ohio State. In the next matchup, the 6-11, SMU at Penn State. Penn State right now projected to be a 9-point favorite.
I love Penn State. I love the way they played last night. You know, they kind of got a little chippy, and I think some of those bad decisions kind of resulted in a lot of penalties for them. If they can kind of tie that up, last night would have been was a tough game for Oregon, you know, in certain aspects. So I think they'll be able to handle SMU.
Yeah, I don't really see any trouble for Penn State. They played way better against Oregon than most people thought they were, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So yeah, they'll be moving on.
Which is crazy because they were 11-1. So
I know.
I don't know what people were thinking.
Well, because James Franklin is A, 1-13, now 1-14 against teams in the top five.
Fair
and
enough.
B, they have weapons on offense, but Kotelnicki, like, he worked some magic last night. Their offense did not look like that at all this season.
Yeah, I'm going to go Penn State as well. Honestly, and I'm basing that off of, their performance last night. I did not think that offense for Penn State was going to put up that many points. I thought their defense had some pretty solid moments last night as well. Yes, they gave up a lot of points, but I think that's a really great team that they have. over there at Penn State. And SMU, they have had a great season, but I think there's just that talent disparity. And again, what Drew Aller and that offense did last night was surprising. And I think it just earned a little bit more of a take them seriously and a little bit more respect. And I think that I, again, hope it's a good one. I don't hope SMU goes flaming out and that, you know, their season wraps up in a bad loss. So I'll go Penn State over SMU to take on Boise State in the next round. Indiana, Notre Dame.
I'm going Notre Dame. I mean, one loss in the season. They shouldn't really have that one. I'm going
Indiana has one loss.
Indiana does have one loss, but, you know, I'm going Notre Dame.
Schedule hasn't been as hard for Indiana. I'm going Notre Dame as well.
All right. I'm going to go Indiana. Give all it right. to me, baby. The Fighting Kurt Cignettis. They have been doubted all year long, and that is going to be our first round of home matchup. That would be classic Notre Dame, too, baby. Indiana getting the upset.
Yeah, that's going to be a great game. What a great week of games, man. Like, what a this slate of games is going
to
be awesome.
Joe, how about this? How about we go to break and wrap up the show with our final picks, okay?
I was just right there with you.
Sorry, brother. No. I'm live producing on the air, by the way. It's what happens when we all come in late.
Gosh, it'd be nice if maybe we had another hour. We will come back after the commercial break and give our projections of quarterfinals, semifinals, and championship matchup next here, Football Sunday, 10 to the Fan. All right, since we don't have another hour, we're going to keep the suspense up just like ESPN and make you wait a whole week.
Yeah, we're outdoing ESPN on that one. I love it.
Yeah, we're gonna wait a whole week to do the rest of our brackets. Plus, we also have, what is it, 2 weeks until the first games are played on the 20th and 21st, I believe, are those first round games. But thanks for riding with us as we reveal the rankings live on air and react with you all out there. Rashad, thank you for showing up.
I appreciate it. Thanks, you guys, for having me.
Hey, thanks for having a show in general, right? Thankful for that.
Good luck, Jordan.
Appreciate you guys.
Heads up, man.
Jordan, thank you as always.
Love you. Love you all.
And everybody out there, have a great Football Sunday. Enjoy some NFL. That's about to kick off here in a couple minutes, and we will see you next week at 8, 9, who knows. We'll send out a tweet and let you all know as soon as we do. For Joe Fisher and the rest of the team here, have a great Sunday. We'll catch you next week. Peace.